At the end of Parshas Emor, the Torah presents what in halachic terminology is known as the Parsha of Megadef, the blasphemer, someone who blasphemes the name of God. You have in front of you the psukim and a fair number of mefarshim. So we're going to examine some of the problematic in the text of the Parsha, and then attempt to present a certain aspect of an analysis of this Parsha. Let's just begin with the psukim, which are rather cumbersome and difficult, just in terms of the structure of the pasuk. Torah begins, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelit, a certain son of a Jewish woman went out. We don't have any clue what the term Vayetze refers to. We're familiar with other psukim in Chumash. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shova Vayel Charana. Person leaves place X and the destination is place Y. Here the Torah speaks of someone who leaves, but it does not indicate to us any destination, any ultimate yad, but it continues. V'hu ben ish mitzri, he was the son of an Egyptian man. B'soch b'nei Yisrael, another rather strange expression. Vayinatzu b'machane, this verb appears elsewhere in Chumash and in Tanakh, with reference to Dasan v'Avira. Shnei anashim ivrim nitzim, it's actually used in modern Hebrew as well. It means people who are contesting with each other, contending with each other. So now we have this son of a Jewish woman, but he's also the son of an Egyptian man, and somehow he leaves v'toch b'nei Yisrael. Vayinatzu b'machane, there's some sort of struggle taking place. Ben ha-Yisraelis v'isha Yisraeli, the son of this Jewish woman and this Jewish man. We don't have a clue what is happening in this passage. Beyond that, there's an internal difficulty in the psukim. Anyone who has a sensitive ear, as all of us do, for the Hebrew language, look at the pasuk. It should have been written in the following way, according to the pshat. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, the son of this Jewish woman, and here's what the Torah should have written. He left betoch b'nei Yisrael. Somehow he left from the camp. And then it should identify him. Behu ben ish mitzri. Instead, what does it say? Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelit. Behu ben ish mitzri. Betoch b'nei Yisrael. Rendering the pasuk almost incomprehensible. There are a number of different explanations for this issue in order to answer the obvious question, Mehechan Yatza. But where did he leave? What exactly was his status? What was the nature of the chet? But let's just continue reading. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikov ben ha'isha yisraelis es Hashem vayikalel. The Torah uses different terminology to describe the act of blasphemy. First, Vayikov, to spell out the way Rashi quotes from the Targum, namely, he went ahead and utilized the Shem HaMeforosh that was heard at Sinai, the Shem HaMeyuchad, the Tetragrammaton. And again, the Torah continues to speak about this individual very cryptically. He's not identified, as you noticed. First, Ben Isha Yisraelis, then Ben Ish Mitzri, then Ben HaYisraelis, then Isha Yisraeli, then Ben HaIsha Yisraelis. So he blasphemes the name of God by Yikalel, curses, by Aviv Asa Moshe. So, in effect, the Torah has concealed the name of the Mekalel. The Torah doesn't tell us whom this Isha Yisraeli was that was involved in whatever struggle took place by Machaneh. It's interesting, in the Zohar, there's a Machlokes Tanoim, whom this Ish Yisraeli was. One opinion says, the husband of Shlomit, as we'll see in a moment, the Torah identifies in Pasuk Gidal, the end of Pasuk Gidal, B'Shei Nimo. What was his mother's name? Shlomit Bas Dibri, the Matei Don. So according to one opinion in the Zohar, this person, this Isha Israeli, was the husband of Shlomit. And the other one says, no, it was the son of the husband of Shlomit from another wife. And we know the Rashi, very famous Rashi, that describes what exactly happened with the Egyptian. It was Metameh, Shlomit, his wife. But whatever the case is, the Torah is incredibly cryptic regarding the identification of the personalities that are involved here. And the Torah goes on, Vayanichu, Bamishmar, Pasuk Yud Beis, he was put into a kind of temporary confinement, the Frosh Lehem Al Pi Hashem. Just their Chagav comment, this is something that the Torah is very incredibly sensitive to language. So here the issue is an issue of Dibur, Vayikov, and then the language of Vayikalel, and then Lifrosh Lehem Al Pi Hashem. The word Lifrosh, Rashi commented earlier that when Rashi explained the word Vayikov, says Rashi Uparesh, and someone who articulated the Shem Hashem, Giduf, an act of blasphemy. And here also the term has several meanings, as many Hebrew words have. They were waiting for a verdict regarding this Megadev. By Daber Hashem and Moshe Limor, Yudgimu Hotzeh Samakalel and Mechut Samachaneh, V'samchu Kol Hashomim Yisidehem Avoshov, V'ragivu Also Kol Oedah. The Onesh is a Chiyuv of Skilo. V'yal B'nei Yisrael to Daber Limor, Ish Ish Ki Yikalel Alokov and Asa Cheto. God forbid someone blasphemes and shame Hashem. The transgression is heinous. V'nokei Shem Hashem Mos Yumos, V'agom Yirgimu V'kol Oedah. Kager Ko Ezroch V'nok Kol Shem Yumos. And then the Torah goes on, and finally at the end, the last page, they carry out the punishment of Skila. So let's first examine the original issue, namely the language of Vayete Ben Isha Yisraelis at the outset of this presentation. The Ibn Ezra says, Yotso Me'olo, he simply left his tent, Vayete. Rabban also, more or less, you have it below. I'm not going to read it inside. Rabban also, more or less, contends that he left his tent. We have such other examples of this usage of that term. But Rashi, and that's what I'd like to focus on for the next few moments, Rashi, unlike Ibn Ezra, unlike Rabban, Rashi Kedarko always cites a Medrash. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi has three explanations on this term by Yetzeh. So let's read Rashi, which is found in Pasuk Yud. Neichon Yatza, opinion number one. Rabbi Levi Omer Me'olomo Yatza. He left his world. What does that mean? You don't have a clue. But Mefarshim again discuss what Rashi has in mind. The Sitzach Chacham over here on the side, you can see it in Os Nun. He explains in the second line, the Kolish Yisrael Yom Hivoldo Unikshah Ba'olam Ha'olam B'kom HaKodesh. There's a connection that every one of us has when we are born into the transcendental worlds. And when a person God forbid sins and deviates from the course, then he leaves that Malkum. Wow. What a pshat. That's the truth of Mikra of Rashi. Me'olombo yatsa. One can interpret it very simply. He left his locus, his makom. Each one of us has a makom. He left that makom. But the language of me'olombo is very striking. Rashi continues. Abrechya omer mi'pasha shalmalo yatsa. The pasha that precedes this one talks about lechem apamim. Someone has to be some juxtaposition between the two. Ligley the Omar, that's a very significant term. He decided to scoff, to mock, to ridicule. And what did he say? The Omar Shabbos Yarchenu, as is well known to all of us, Lachem Apanim is changed every Shabbos. Derech HaMelech Lechol Patzchamah B'chol Yom. Normally, the king still is going to have fresh, hot, piping succulent bread on an ongoing basis. Shema Pastor Nenesh Shatish Yomim. They were talking about bread that is left for the previous week, 9 days. What? We're going to serve cold, dry bread in the palace of the king? Vidbiya. But what does it mean? According to Rav Brechia, what's his understanding of Vayetze? There's some sort of liglug taking place. He's mocking the king. And Rashi continues, apparently was a din Torah that took place here regarding his status. He wanted to position himself as one of the Shvatim, the Shevet Dan. What are you doing here? I'm from tribe of Dan. What are you talking about? There's clearly something amiss with your status. So he came for a psak in the Bez Moshe Rabbeinu, and they passed it against him. Oh, I think he did. He decided to go ahead and blaspheme. So Rashi quotes, as I said, three different opinions. So what are the opinions? What are they debating? What's the nature of the discussion, according to Rashi? So lichora, the discussion according to Rashi relates to what was the rationale behind his behavior. Why? What prompted him? What precipitated this kind of rather striking kind of response? Because of a tukta between two people, he should be left to blasphemy. So the first opinion said Rashi is of Levi. The Alamo Yotza, as I said, before she had a field day trying to figure out what exactly this means. And I showed you a moment ago, the Sitzach Chamin, Rabbeinu Bachaye, says that a person is a microcosm. Every one of us is an old cotton. And others speak in similar kind of terminology, but we don't understand, as I said, really what Rashi wants. But the question seems to be, what would impel a person, a Ben Yisraelit, to engage in such a heinous crime, such an egregious crime, a blasphemy to be Noki the Shem Hashem? So Me'olamo could be interpreted now, and that's how I would like to interpret it. He simply left the misgeret, the frame of reference that all of us operate in. Namely, all of us operate, the person, even when we're involved in the exigencies of life, and there are many, no shortage of them, we are challenged constantly on an ongoing basis, even at a minute-to-minute basis. Adam the verse of Hashem, according to an opinion, Adam Nidon B'Chayom, what says Adam Nidon B'Chashom? Literally, on an hourly basis, we are constantly challenged. So even though the challenges can sometimes bring about rage, even torrential rage, and people could, what's the term? Lose their cool. Simply explode. That happens. And a person can, God forbid, Rahman al-Insan, be led to very, very consequential kind of responses and actions that are way beyond the pale of a normal response. And this person is exactly what happened. Something happened, and he simply lost it, and that led to blasphemy. All of us have to have a sense of self-discipline, even when we are under pressure, under lachatz. Every person has the ability to muster whatever is necessary in order to somehow contain himself and react in a proper kind of way. The Torah wants us to discipline ourselves. And a person should make sure, I never come to that point. And this fellow came to that point. He left the miscarriage. He left the normal frame of reference that all of us operate with. The second opinion, Rav Levi, that Rashi cites over here, that it would seem that this could apply to any circumstance. Why not the lechem apodim? What set him off? We got lechem apodim. The Gemara says there's a famous comment of Rish Lakish that the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Seder. Rish Lakish. What impels a person to do an avera? If a person would think soundly, someone who, of course, is well-grounded and well-founded in Torah and mitzvahs, there's no way that person can do an avera. Because one thinks too carefully, one realizes that one has deviated from the course. Of course, we're all human beings. But in general, this applies in all kinds of circumstances. Rashi here quotes Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, who said, I see the juxtaposition, the lechem apodim, because the king is not being given fresh bread. But there's one word here that I think is critical. Liglay, the lag and the booze, that itself, that was the issue. The inability to somehow deal with an issue, but deal with it in a rational, mature, responsible kind of way, leads often a person to become cynical, to become a scoffer. And Chazal tell us that the son of Sachas, a person who's a letz. There's an interesting Chazal. There's nothing serious in the person, not a serious bone in the person's body. He's completely becomes a letz. He's malagleg at the most fundamental, central issues, even issues related to Kedusha, to the cover of the Malki HaMalkim. When a person comes to that point, he can be led to Chas V'Shalom to Malki HaShem HaShem. That's the second opinion of Rabbi Yeah.
Maybe number one happens to the number two.
I happen to like that shot. I was going to suggest it, but you now have stolen my thunder. Good. Great. I think that Yesh Haber to what you said. I think there's a clear continuum over here. I'm asking to you 1,000%. But I'm simply just trying to present the three different positions, just in terms of the third position, which, by the way, is the most extreme in some respects, because we're talking about a person whose father was an Egyptian, his mother was Jewish. Shlomit bas Diri the Mati Don, according to the halacha, what's the din? That when it comes to the status of a person, the mother is Kovea. Many people are not happy with that. But that's a halakhic reality based on Gemara and Kedushin, based on Sukkot and Shas. And in fact, Rashi says over here, B'tov Bei Yisrael, Melamed Shiz Gaya. There's a suffix. Before Matan Torah is the mother Kovea, before Matan Torah, the Ramban, and there's a whole Sefer of the Mishnah of Melech called Parshas Brachim that deals with this issue. What's the status of Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah and the like? But anyway, here we have a person who certainly, from a halachic standpoint, he's a Ben Yisraelist. He's clearly a Jew. So then he's signing all the mitzvahs of the Torah. If he violates them, he's going to be punished, as any Jew would be. But his kasher is through his mother. She's from Shevet Dan. Now he wants to go ahead and pitch his tent in Machaneh Dan. However, Bnei Dan don't permit it. As Rashi calls, Mativcha, what are you doing over here? Why are you planning your tent with us? He said, what do you mean? I'm from Shevet Dan. They said, no. The pasuk says, Ishal diglo ba'osos the base of bozom. Yachum el Yisrael. When it comes to that aspect of things, that goes after what? It goes after the father. Not after the mother. It comes to the dagel. Chaniyat HaShvotim is nikval piyav. It's based on the father. So he finds himself in a, what you would call in Hebrew, malkot, in a pickle. That's the term that I use. My father's shot. That was one of his favorite terms. He finds himself in a pickle. It's not after his chayim. It's not Jamie. He has no schusin. So where am I going to go? I may as well go to the Arab Rabbi the Mitzvah. There, I'll find my father. There, I'll live a life of hefker, a life without mitzvahs. And in fact, what does he do? Okay, let me go to the highest authority, the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. And to his chagrin, he emerges chayim, guilty. So he's really impacted in the most severe way. He says, what's the point? There's no justice. The chok is no chok. And therefore, right away, he came to what's called in Hebrew, Yibud HaShtavot. He simply lost it. And there's no Gibshim Hashem. Okay, this is just by way of introduction to the topic. And I think what the Rabbi Sasse suggested, I have to like immensely. I think each one becomes, it's almost like we're moving up the scale, up the ladder. First we begin, Yatzav Yolamo, how do you interpret Yolamo? And then we have this Lechem HaPanim argument, which seems to be, I would say in some respects, I actually grew up, my mother used to buy 2-day-old bread, 3-day-old bread. I never ate fresh bread in my entire life. Someone told me among the 1,000 reasons to come there to serve is the fresh, hot, piping, succulent bread. You come a Thursday night in Yerushalayim, Jabba Mafia, happened to be near, including Bechamish as well. Wow, wow, wow. I remember coming from a chasina one night. And I came 2 o'clock in the morning. And I had this, I was in Yerushalayim, the chasina, and I sent it from Angel's Bakery. Wow, it was 2 a.m. So I decided I'm going in. It was open. And I actually made an amotzi. I had an entire challah. 2 o'clock in the morning. Yatzo me'eloma. So I want to now focus on the parsha itself, and I want to present one aspect of things which I think is correct. As I mentioned, the Torah regarding the mother of the Mekalel, of the one who blasphemed, the Torah initially conceals her name. Doesn't mention her name. However, it keeps saying again and again, Ben Isha Yisraelis. It keeps underscoring the fact that he's a son of this Jewish woman. Only at the end, the Torah reveals to us the name B'shem Imo, Shlomo Bas Divri, the Matik Don. Why is it that the Torah presents it in such a fashion? The name of the Kalil, somehow, the Torah has attempted to protect her. Only once is she mentioned, as I said, and even the name of the father, Bas Divri. And Rashi actually here quotes Midrashim. You look at the Rashi below, you see Rashi quotes Midrashim that why she called Bas Divri, says Rashi, Dabron Nisoysa, a play on the term. She was someone who was involved in a lot of chit chat. The Medrash actually indicates also by Arichos. But after the Torah presents her name, the name of her father, so then obviously that piece of information is important. But now the question is, what's the nature of that information? So I want to suggest that once the Torah has publicized the name of the woman, so now the question is, why did the Torah mention her name at the very beginning of the Pasha? Why did we wait till the end to reveal whom she is? And before her son was Mekalel, the Shema Meforosh, as the Targum says here, that he heard at Sinai, then the Torah would not have had to repeat itself. Ben Aisha Yisraeli so many times. It seems to be repetitive. Okay, I think you are correct. I'm going to try to move in sort of your direction. All the Rishonim missed this kasha. There are high back on this year. There are Babadelis the kasha. And they try each one, but there is a very beautiful Zohar that I once heard from my father's friend. I'm not so into Zohar, don't be chashed me. But here and there, I look at the Zohar, and my father was very into Zohar. So was my grandfather. So the Zohar said the following. I want to read part of the Zohar. Vayikov ben Aisha Yisraelis Hashem, Mao Vayikov. Rabbi Abba Amar Vayikov Noki Madahavasosi. That which is hidden, he openly revealed. You don't have it in front of you. B'shem Imo Shlomo Bas Divri Adkan Sosim Shmo V'imei. Till that point, I think this is what you were saying. Till that point, the name of the mother is concealed. Came into Sin Vayikov Noki Shmei V'imei. The moment that action occurred, the blasphemy, the moment he blasphemed the Shem Hashem, that's when her name is mentioned. No longer Arichos here in the Zohar. Apparently, the Zohar is trying to underscore, and this is how I understand it, the unbelievable impact of a mother in the chinuch of her children. To a large extent, Chazal tell us that the mother's impact is overwhelming, overriding. To a large extent, midos of the person come from the kachayim. The chinuch of children is probably more dependent upon a mother than on a father. I don't mean to be disrespectful to all of you who are sitting here. You're all wonderful. I'm sure you're all mechanech. Our children, but Chazal say at the end of the day, this is your own yavos. Dayenu shemegados is baneinu. Umatzilos al sonim alachet. It's enough that women raise our children. Gemara says in Shabbos, beisel zuishto. Of course, at the beginning of Yuma, you have a lot of dafyomi people here. I'm not so into it. But beisel zuishto. Person's home is his wife. And the Gemara tells us as well, Gemara in Kedushin, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, so what comes first? Kavi Tzavicha V'Esimecha. When it comes to the mitzvah of Mora, Pasim Kedushin, Ishima V'Yad V'Tiro, the Mora precedes, first mother comes and father. Why? So the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, Asalavesi Zatzal said, absolutely, one bashir on this topic. The verse says, "God will do all of them." It's well known to the Creator Sheben mechabe es imo yesev avin. And a son honors his mother more than his father. Why? Because generally the father, generally, is tougher. And the mother is softer. And therefore the Torah has to redress that by saying, don't make a mistake. There's also mitzvah, keep it up. On the other hand, generally people tend to have more from a father than a mother. Today that would be considered to be a sexist statement. It would be politically unacceptable to make such a statement. Chazal say, and it's clear it's embedded in the very psyche of a mother and father. But I'm not getting into that topic right now. Soloveitchik argued that the chazokas of Chazal are embedded in the very teva of a man, of a woman, and correct. Anyway, so the point being that the role of a mother is absolutely critical in many respects, more critical than that of a father. Ben Seal Tugas Imo. Not only does a mother have a direct impact on her children, but even indirectly, even almost unconsciously. The Gemara says, Uba Yerach Imo. Achlokes is the Gemara. Whether Uba is considered to be a chelik of the mother or not, but the halacha we pass in Uba Yerach Imo is a Yerushalmi Chagiga that always thunderstruck by it. Yerushalmi asks, what caused Elisha ben Avuya to go the Tar B'Sruah? Why did he go off the path, off the primrose path? Shaisa Imo shall Achem Uberesmo, when she was pregnant with Elisha ben Avuya, Avrapam Avotia ben Azara, she passed through an area where there were idolaters. Ve'iricha me'el sonin, she scented Takrovis la ben Azara. V'hosa osa harach mefapea begufa ke'erso shel akida. It penetrated her very innards. I don't know Yerushalmi so well, but takes a call to the Chagiga. Places a few places in my name. Places called Sister Chagiga, and that as well. And there it says she ate from that mean, and that mean was Mizdazea Begufa Ke'achna, like the poison of a nachash, of a snake, of a venomous snake, of a viper. And that was from Tachoris Abed Azorah, and that had a hashma till Chas V'Sholom. He was catching it in the teos and the like. To such an extent, that's the hashma of a mother and a child. So that's exactly, I believe, what Zoya here is saying. As long as the Ben Isha Yisraelis was still B'toch B'nei Yisrael, even though Yotza Me'alamo, this fellow, the Torah calls him Ben Yisraelis. I think that's what you were getting at. And the Torah does not publicize the name. However, once Rachmanu Litzlan, he literally fell to the lowest of levels, and Rachmanu Litzlan was Noki Hashem Hashem, that's when the Torah felt constrained to publicize the name of his mother. And that was a direct result of the mother. That's the Lashon of the Zohar again, if I can read it. Till that point, till that juncture, the name of the mother was concealed. Came in the Siva Yiko, Nokum Shmodi Ime. The Torah then fell to the train. Now we have to identify the mother. And Shlomos Basdibri, that caused that which happened. And then Shlomos Basdibri, in effect, her name, Shlomos Basdibri, in effect, her son was a Ben Ish Mitzray. And as a result, of her behavior to a certain extent, there occurred what occurred. There's a connection clearly between her being a Dabronis and Noki Shem Hashem, which is the Chet that the Torah identifies, called the Chet of Megadik in halachic terminology. It's interesting that Chazal, when they speak about names, I'm constantly surrounded by people who, when they're about to name a child, or it's a young woman, often ask me for advice. I'm not sure exactly why, but they like to ask me for advice. It's been going on for decades. Even recently, someone just had a child and they asked me for advice. And then usually there's a fair amount of, how shall we say, let's be polite, discussion. Better would be machlokes. Oh, often grandparents get involved. Other people get involved, have what to say. I told the members of my household that this is the position that I feel. Grandparents have one function. Open up their pocketbooks and keep their mouths closed. That's generally how I see it. However, no one seems to agree with me on this matter. So I try not to get involved in matters even relating to naming children after those that I would like them to name after. Doesn't mean I don't give them proposal. Don't worry. They're not so smart. They don't always get the remiss. Only Chachamim get remiss. So I try my best, but at the end of the day, it's their decision, and that's how I feel. I think everyone should have the right to more or less come to their own conclusions. Anyway, the reason why I say this is because you find Chazal, many names that I mentioned in the Torah. How do we know them? I'll give you an example that to me is one of my favorite examples. That those that were involved in saving Klal Yisrael after the Gzeira Paro, and who are these two Mialdos? So the Gemara has a Machlokes, I believe, Rabbi Shmuel, Gemara and Seita, has a Machlokes, who they are. Rashi actually quotes it on the spot. One says it was the mother and the sister, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yocheved and Miriam. I think one says it was Yocheved and Elisheva, Eshetar, if I'm not mistaken. The Brisa points out again, and this is what Rashi quotes. Shifra is Yocheved. So why is she called Shifra? And the answer is she was Meshaper at the Tavah. She beautified the child. Who was Miriam? She was cooing to the child. So what's fascinating that don't think in Rabbi Shmuel that's only they're saying a drash. I don't think the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel here is any different than any other Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel in Kol HaShas. Namely, Isurin, Momodus, when we know we have Klolin, had a Paskin, passed like Rabbi in one area, passed like Shmuel in another area. This is also, seems to me, that this issue, which the Gemara discusses at some length in Saita, and the Gemara quotes actually a Brisa, so it's clear that we have to understand this machlag is no different, let's say, than the machlag is in Baba Kama. The Gemara in the first paragraph discusses Bor Shechiv Alav Torah. And the Torah says, Ki Yiftach Ish Bor, Icha Ish Bor Al Yichasenu. So the question is, are you Chayav, Mishum Havla, Mishum Chavta? Right at the beginning of Dab Gimel, I don't get much past those early Dapim in the Besechtes and Shas. So that's a machlokes. So this also, this is a very fundamental machlokes. So here, I want to give you another example of something which I think is also relevant to this. The Torah has, if you remember, undoubtedly you remember, the Torah mentions that this is, these are psukim, of course, in Bamidbar. Pinchas leaped into action. Pinchas ben Elozim and Aaron Arkein. Heshem is Chamosim now b'nei Yisrael. B'kanos kinosim b'solchem alokul Yisrael b'nei Yisrael. B'kinosim, because at the end of Bolor, the Torah describes a horrendous event. B'nei Ish b'nei Yisrael bo. And he committed a terrible crime. B'yakir b'lechem asamidonis. Le'ine Moshe, le'ine kol adas b'nei Yisrael. B'eva b'lechem pesach ha'amoy. And there also the Torah does not describe whom the personalities are. Non-description. Everything is concealed. And then at the end, Mishem Ish Yisrael Habuke, Asher Huka Samidyonis, Zimri Ben Solo, Mishem Ha'isha, Hamuka Hamidyonis Kozbi Basur. So the Gemara says that her name was not Kozbi, the Gemara Sanhedrin, but the Gemara says her name was Shrilnoi Basur, I believe. That was her name. The Gemara says, why she called Kozbi? She calls Babi Avia, is a Rashi. And the Gemara says that Zimri had five names. And what is the name of, again, that's mentioned? Each generally names, we have called kind of Maser in Chazal. It's also Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says that Dabazem Maseris Biyadeni Yavaseinu Meraglim Alshem Maseyem Nikru. The names of the Meraglim, because of their behavior. Sesur Ben Michoel. Shesoser Maeser Shakalish Boch Osa Atzmo Boch. Whatever the case is, I'm just trying to point out to you that the Torah, in terms of names that the Torah utilizes, so often the name actually is primarily founded upon the person's mahus, behavior. Even though everyone is probably aware that certainly al pi kabbalah, that the name that a person is given comes from on high. I'm a Litvak, so I am not able to connect with those things as well as maybe many of you who are sitting here. But there is such a concept, no question about it. Ramban writes in Chumash, when Adam Arishan confronts the entire Bria, Vayikra Adam Shemos, he called the elephant the peel, and he calls the lion the Aryeh. And the Ramban says, what he was able to do was he literally understood the very essence of these animals, their very inner qualities. And that's the name that reflects those inner qualities. And when a person gives a name to a child, a young woman, a young man, that name is a reflection of Asiyata Dishmaya from on high, unquestionably. So this idea is not another portion. This notion that Hashem is not just a question of a name that's being given in a very almost cavalier kind of fashion, Chas v'Shalom, not at all. The name is reflective of, as I said, just the way Adam HaRishon calls all the Bali Chayim, and in effect, he gathers them all together. That's what the Chazal say on Pasuk there. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam. What does it say there? Kol Chaya Sasodeh v'es Kolom HaShemayim. That's the language of the pasuk, and that shame, in effect, is a shame that remains with a person forever. So, what I'm simply trying to suggest over here, in the context of these psukim, is that, in effect, what you have over here, through the names that are being mentioned, you really have a reflection of the character of the individual. I want to read the Ramban, that Ramban I just mentioned a moment ago, with reference to other Ravishon. The Ramban writes, when Adam is giving names, conferring names upon all the creatures, Hashem brought all creation, came before Adam Ravishon, the Ramban says. He understood, he was able to distill the essence of each creature. That's just a question of putting an identity on a particular animal in order to identify them. Ramban says it reflects the very geist, the very spirit, the very essence of each of these created beings. Unbelievable Ramban. The Sforno also says the same thing. So you see from the Ramban and the Sforno, many of you showed him that, in effect, Adam Marisha was defining the very nature of each of these creatures. So coming back to our issue over here, and this, as I said, is, I think, something which is very fundamental and very basic, and you see this in a few parshas of Chumash, and this is one of the parshas that you see this element of Shemos. And this element is something which, of course, a person's name is something which is, Chazal say, there are three ksorim. Kesatara, kesaru, kesamacha, the kesashemto, vila adabeh. As a person develop a kesashemto, by a lifetime of good deeds, by handiwork of many, many actions, the chinuch keseda throughout his parish, throughout his sefer, the chinuch, of course, has the famous yisod, which is known in psychological terminology, behavioral therapy. The more a person does something again and again and again and again and again, it's going to become part of your very persona. And even though you do things necessarily not with kavanah, but even without kavanah, inadvertently it becomes part of your, becomes second nature. And this is also found in the Siyas Hasharim, this idea, the Ramchal writes, Ki atznua hachitzonit ma'orer tapnimit. Person's actions unquestionably has an impact on their very inner persona, their inner personality. So, at the end of the day, the name of a person is not simply just a convention, a man-made convention to identify people, but it's far more than that. It reflects the very essence of what a person's all about. Just to bring you a few more simple rayos to this idea, we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh. Hashem is Kadosh, and His name is Kadosh. Ato Echad, V'shimcha Echad. What is this so-called distinction between him and his name? And of course, the answer is that they go together. They're completely meshutaf from every perspective. And this idea is found in Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in Nefesh HaChaim as well. Very fundamental yisod. He writes over there in the Pasuk in Tehillim that we say every day, Monem Yisrael HaKoychavim, Hashem counts the stars, Zechulam Shemos Yikra, or Sumar Menechem Ru Mibara Ele, Nishayo, the Rabbi says, Hamotzi Vivisma Tzvam, Uchulam Shemos Yikra. What is the nature of the Shevach over here? Anybody can go ahead and identify anything he wants with whatever name he decides to confer upon it. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, he certainly knows exactly what they're all about. What exactly, what's the Gavlus, what's the great Shevach over here? So the answer is that there's no chiddush in just conferring a name, but the chiddush is that the name, what's in the name, the bard said. My father Shalom was very into Shakespeare. But anyway, I quote Shakespeare to my Talmidim. They don't even know who Shakespeare is. Who's Shakespeare? They can tell you who Michael Jordan is. Yeah. Dolly Ador. But not Shakespeare. And why is it important that I know who Shakespeare is? Michael Jordan is clearly far more chashuv. That's how I discovered who Michael Jordan was. A person's shem and his very personality conjoined are one and the same. Ato echad v'shimcha echad. Just like Hashem is one, his name is one. Sometimes people's actions belie, or if you will, contradict, or are not in sync with their name. Sometimes there's quite a gap between the two. But with Hashem Yisbarach, of course, there are no steerers. One idea is mashal the other. So certainly, as I said before, and this is to me, fundamental yesod, Yocheven and Miriam, who are called Shifra and Pua, you don't have essentially any kind of Shinu Shemos. Their names, which are known in Chazal as Shifra and Pua, the Torah calls it that way, reflect their very essence. They put themselves in a sakana to save the lives of Klal Yisrael from the Xeris of Paro HaRasha. He wanted to dash them on the rocks of the Nile. They were not maskim. They were mosa nefesh. But chayena sayilodi. And again, you have also another statement in Chazal. I'll just give you, I have a cited, wrote down for myself a number of examples where you see this idea that there's a tanchum actually at the beginning of Ayakel. It says, Shlosh Hashemos Nikul Adam. The person has three names. Echam Ashikar lo Abba v'Imo, what his parents call him. Echam Ashikar lo B'nei Adam, what people out there call him. I'm involved often in chasanas, where people have a name that's given to them at birth, but that's not the name that everyone knows them. Everyone knows them with a certain nickname or a certain kinoi. Adki Nikab, they don't even know the original name. And now the question, what do you write in Ksuba? You write the name that they know, so some Rabbanim will even write, let's say the name is Reuven, but they're not called Reuven, they're called Rubes, or some other kind of name, whatever it may be. So they'll write down on the Ksuba Rabbanim, Reuven, the mystery Rubes, because that's really the name that he's known by. They don't even know his Hebrew name. So the second name is that which people give him. And the third is, Mashalim Kain Latzmo, that which I acquire on my own. Says the Medrash, Tev Shemekulon, Mashal Kain Latzmo. The best of all the names is that which I acquire on my own, through my diligence, through my effort, through my industriousness. That's the real name. And that is, of course, Vein Bitzad HaTov, Vein Bitzad HaRa, in both directions. The Gemara says in Brachas, the Gemara points out that regarding Rus, why is she called Rus? That she was Zochet, the Dabar HaMelech came out of her, Sherivohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiros HaTishbachos. And the Gemara says, how do you know Shmo Gorin? That the Shem actually has an unbelievable impact. L'chu Chazu Mifalos Hashem Asher Som Shamos Boris, I possibly tell them, Atikwe Shamos El Hashemos. So essentially what I'm trying to stress over here, as you hopefully see, V'shem Imo Shlomi Asdivri L'mati Dom. Why did the Torah here tell us the name of the mother, the Makala, what Nachamina is there? And the answer is that the Hashpa that she had on a child, and again, look at the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi here comments here, Shlomi says Rashi, David Patpita, Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aloch, Shalom Aleichem. She was in the Fatfeta Dvarim. Simply, my father used to say, blah, 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 blah. There's no question you were allowed to speak as long as we don't say Lashon Hara, Rechilas, Motzi Shema, the Ramban, and Kedoshim Tiyu. But certainly to just go on, if I can use the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir. And that's exactly what happened with that Mitzri, the Noges. Who was Matamiha? Bas Dibri says Rashi, Dabronisoisom, Daberatim Kolodo, Ulafikach Nigram Lashikil Kola. And it's actually a Mishnah in Ksubis. And people often ask me, I deal with a lot of people who become Bala Tshuva, and they want to know, Al Tarbe Sicha Maisha, what are the parameters of that? First of all, what's Sicha? Secondly, what's al tarbeh? What are the parameters? There's a Mishnah in Ksubas, Nabai Yimei, it's a famous Mishnah. Over at Adas Yehuda say, Zoe Zushim et Averis in Kol Adon. Somehow people who just speak freely in a cavalier kind of fashion, there's nothing wrong with speaking to people. There's no Isur B'Dava. It's true, there's a Gemara in Yuma, the Dibata Abom, B'Loi B'Dvam B'Talim, maybe the Isur Aseh to speak B'Dvam B'Talim. But the Rambam writes that what you want to speak, the Rambam Pesha Mishnayis and Avos, and also in Manuachim, and also the Rambam in his letters, you should speak either Divrei Torah or Divrei Chachma, or things that you need, that are required. But certainly once you're not, speak excessively, frivolously. And then one of our Rabbeim, I don't know where the Chazal is, but he claims there's such a Chazal. A person is given X number of words in their lifetime. And once you use it up, then you're not able to speak any further. So, God know Lachesi Kala, God know Mayan Chosum. And therefore, she was paired together, the Eim HaMekalel, and that's where the Torah then felt the need. As a result of that, that's basically what you said. I just spelled it out a little bit, if you don't mind. As a result of her patpatonist nature, dabronist nature, then the Torah goes ahead and identifies this person. So just by way of seeing that, just like a person is ultimately responsible and achroi for all of his actions, and the actions of a person unquestionably reflect whom the individual is. So we should try our best that whatever names we are given, that name should be hopefully reflected in its glory and splendor in the most positive kind of way. And that name should be a source of Kiddush Hashem, of the Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, in every single one of our actions, every jot and tittle, kol tzad, v'shal, shal chayim shalonu should be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, to interact with people wholesomely, to become models that, in effect, the way the Brisa writes in Yuma, that when you see people acting in the most beautiful fashion, so right away you ask, who is that person? Who is their father? Who is their mother who taught them Torah? Who Baruch Hashem raised them and reared them and sired them, and that's the greatest Kiddush Hashem Yisrael Shevachor Espoir. And that's how we should try to guide ourselves and guide our children. And Yisrael Hashem b'machanech, not just children, but Beis Hashem, we should be zolcha using the name in a proper kind of way. The Doros Yisharim B'Varach, Amen.